basically saying is that you want to bring a Liverpool fan into our happy little community to take away the is it to take away the brunt of insults? Is it to take the pressure off of you, basically?
That's
I think it's a good thing you've mentioned that, because it's the first time anyone's really admitted that there is an anti-Arsenal bias.
No, it's just you.
AAB, as I like to call it, there is one. Like, you got caught, guys. Both you got caught. There's no point denying it. There is an anti-Arsenal bias to this group.
No. Nobody mentioned an anti-Arsenal bias. Ed, you set yourself up for a multitude of insults, because you know, and it's hard because you know what you do, and I don't know if you do it on purpose.
What do you
do it on purpose. I know you do.
Of course he does.
Who are the top three right backs in the country, Ed?
There we go. He's like a paid provocateur, isn't he?
He is. So what you want to do is you want to bring in a Liverpool fan, because there are people out there who are, as if not more, infuriating than you are.
And they're literally
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're trying to pass the baton of hatred.
Well, we have, obviously, Mike's a Tottenham fan, the resident Tottenham fan. I'm the Arsenal fan. Paul, there's you and Shane, who are the United fans.
But they give that away with their northern accents. So everyone should know that anyway.
north of Kent, anyway. We have Jazz and Nav, and new member, like Matt, who's our Chelsea fans. Mm. We have no Liverpool. We have no Man City.
But that's because we don't need them. We really don't need them.
It might be a nice touch, you know.
Mike, you talk about telling that Shane and I are United fans for our accents. That's like me saying, I could tell you're a Spurs fan because you're eating a bagel.
God damn, Paul.
I think that's gone down a slightly different road, but all right, fine. Is it because I sit here and yell, yeah, I am a lot?
I might
have to cut that out then.
Right. No, but let's be honest though. If you was to invite a Liverpool fan into this podcast, then the first, I'll be generous, the first 9, maybe 10 episodes will all be surrounding why Jordan Pickford hasn't got criminal charges against him, because he nearly murdered Van Dijk on the pitch. I mean, that's what it will, wouldn't it? It will be revolving all around that.
Nine episodes. How long do you reckon it will take for us to get 9 episodes, given how long it's taken us to get this one?
But we, it's an open and closed book for us, isn't it? But if you introduce a Liverpool fan into it, we'll be talking about, like I said, criminal charges. You know, he'll be up against the UN for war crimes. There'll just be all sorts of stuff going on. And we don't need that negativity in this group.
Agreed. Do you know what I love the most about that? It was Graham Souness. Graham Souness was talking about, it's a salt and blah, blah, blah. And then all those videos of what he was like as a player came out after, when he was kicking poor blokes up and down the pitch and that. And he's like, listen, Graham, have a cup of tea and shut your mouth.
That's the classic. It's the Liverpool mentality, isn't it? About, it's like yesterday. I mean, fair play. It was never a penalty because it wasn't even in the box. But it just rises a smile because you think, good on ya.
So all I've done is talked about the prospect of a Liverpool supporter joining, and it's already created this. Like, for me, it's interesting. I think I like to see what happens. I think I'm just curious to see what happens if.
It's fine. Because you've got the Arsenal Tottenham rivalry. So then, if you were to bring Liverpool in as well, that's the Liverpool Chelsea rivalry. So then, I suppose if you're going down that route, you're going to have to try and scramble and find a Man City fan, which wouldn't be that hard now, would it? Because they got bought over by a country, so everyone now supports City. So
true. Well, we could Zoom to like the Middle East and get a Man City fan.
Off the top of my head, I could think of at least 4 people that I know who are Man City fans. There are 2 in the pub.
Okay. Wears the face mask.
No, 2, it's a pair of girls.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But she had a face mask on the other day when I was in there, a big Man City crest on it. Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah. They've all got, yeah, they all wear face masks now, don't they? That's embarrassing, isn't it? The face masks in pubs.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought you mean COVID face masks. I thought you were talking about...
Yeah, I don't mean football. Like she rolls around day to day with a face mask on with a big Man City badge on it. I mean, like, I know it's Halloween, but fucking hell.
To be honest, I forgot what times we're in, but maybe that's a good segue into like so intros, blah blah. Tight Men's back. We're gonna try do like one pod a month. Like we're trying to span our roster as well, which is why we're talking about Liverpool fans maybe joining. Right, obviously there's more to the person than being a Liverpool supporter, but yeah,
even not much
is
more.
Is there?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see, maybe not, you know, maybe. But yeah.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, like we've already got an extra Chelsea fan, but yeah.
Is he likely to come, or has he got like a court case or something that he's got to go to first? Or...
to be honest, I reckon this chat is probably making it more likely that he comes in, at least for one episode, just to fire back.
Here we go.
I'm not gonna speak for him anyway, but let's see how he goes anyway. So was it 3 months since we last caught up, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of shit's happened. And to be honest, there's a lot of shit that happened that we didn't really address. COVID, for instance.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford, you know, all the stuff he's doing. I think he was doing it back then as well. And also, he's
King Rashford, mate.
Yeah, no one can really say anything negative about him. Yeah.
No.
You start off with that one, yeah?
What, Rashford?
Yeah. So what do you think? I suppose what the Tories, they voted against, like, extending school meals for, like, children in poverty. I don't know. It's a bit mad.
I heard something interesting about that as well. I heard that there was already legislation written into their plan, which is already underway, that they were giving councils X amount of extra funds every month for whatever they pay, you know, whatever the money is that a local council will get from the government. There was already provisos built into that for underprivileged families and low-income families. Now, I don't know how true that is. I haven't really looked into it. But I did hear that a couple of days ago. But I mean, if you're looking at it on the face of a Tory government, I mean, it's just classic Tory behaviour, really, isn't it?
Do
you think they'll flip flop?
I don't know. He did before, didn't they? Like when he originally proposed it, they said no, and then outcry kind of made them flip flop that one time. So who knows? You know, like you think.
That's the wonder.
Yeah.
I mean. They talk about that he wanted, what was it, 20 million he wanted, and they've said no. And then this being just after they've just writ off 14 billions worth of debt from the NHS and the amount of money that they're pumping into. A cynic would say you can pump as much money as humanly possible into military weapons and into deterrence from keeping the country free from terrorists and from general immigrants and la da 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 da, but you can't put 20 million aside to feed some hungry kids. And I think for any government in a wealthy country to turn around and say no to something like that is it's pretty poor, isn't it?
It's pretty
low. Definitely. But I mean, the military is already grossly underfunded anyway. Hence why, just before I left, they were doing mass redundancies where everyone could go for it, regardless of what rank you were, and you was almost 99.9% sure you were going to get it. And everyone got like a there was mass redundancy. I was a little bit annoyed, actually, because... I'd already signed off. I did miss out because I'd already signed off, and you have to give a year's notice, 12 months notice when you sign off. So from the day you sign off, you don't have 12 months before you actually leave. But within that 12 months, they then started the redundancies. And normally what they do is they open it up to certain ranks. So it might be only a Lance Corporal. Everyone at Lance Corporal can go for it. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But this was open to everybody within the army, any rank, any regiment, anywhere. everybody, but I couldn't go for it because I'd already signed off. But it turned out that pretty much everybody who went for it got it. And there was a guy the same rank as me who went for it. He got it. And he ended up with like a £55,000 payout and a half pension that he claims at 50. So shit. There you go. Okay. So I was fucked with the short end, basically.
You're not bitter though, are you, Mike? You're not bitter though.
No, he's done something, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm well over it.
No, but Mike, you're a Spurs supporter, so you should be used to getting butt fucked, shouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. With the thick end. Yeah.
Like, aren't all, like, government, like, areas, like, or say government areas, like, public services, they're all underfunded anyway. Like, we've seen...
Apart from the House of Commons.
Yeah. Didn't they give themselves a pay rise or something?
Oh, sure did, yeah.
Or was an independent body, like, agreed to them receiving a pay rise? And it just comes quite close to them voting against, like, increasing funds for school meals.
But they also get something. I mean, like, going the irony of the whole, you know, feeding underprivileged children during the half term and the summer holidays and such. I mean, and then it comes out that they get £26 a day food allowance on top of their salary. Some of them, they're on like 85 plus a year, and yet they're getting £26 a day to go to prep.
Didn't it come out as well that the House of Commons is one of the only places in the country where you can still drink after 10 p.m.
Is that still the case?
Yeah,
well, I think it's still the case.
I heard that because obviously people are complaining about that with the tiers and like pubs closing at 10. I think didn't they say that they weren't gonna or they were gonna close or they gonna stop that or something like that? Didn't they say they were gonna stop?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but yeah, they say that, but who's to say that? I mean, they could be in there all up until all hours. I mean, our clocks went back an hour yesterday. They're probably in there fucking swinging from the rafters, weren't they?
Like Boris Johnson behind the fucking bar.
Yeah, I mean, Rishi Sunak's like, listen, I've been banned from my fucking local pub, so the drinks are on me, boys.
I saw that.
Dickhead.
What? Rishi, you're not a fan, no?
No, do you know what? The whole thing amused me because it was he's obviously one of the ones that voted against feeding the kids.
Yeah.
And it was this Rishi's local pub has banned him for life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did he drink in there to begin with, or does he just live near there? Because if he don't drink in there anyway, his reaction should really just be so.
Yeah. Imagine maybe he dropped there when it came to Thomas. What? So you got to say that again, Paul?
No, I'm joking.
Are you?
No, not anymore. I just go in there with a fake moustache.
Okay. And I was just saying, he probably only went in that pub when it came close to elections.
He'll probably never drink in there again. As far as I'm aware, they're all still allowed to piss it up in the House of Commons. The vote was staggering for against, wasn't it? Which I was really surprised by. But the good thing about King Marcus is that he's taken that and turned it into such a massive PR, not stunt, but like a PR thing where everybody has now come out. What was it? Over 100 different businesses have come out and been like, "Nah, we got ya." Even McDonald's came forward and was like, "Listen, fucking, we'll feed them." And all the parents were like, "No, thanks."
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, probably the least one you'd want to come forward and be like, yeah, we'll feed them. Because then we'll have in 10 years' time, everyone will be overweight.
Yeah.
A whole generation. You just have a generation of fat kids.
Yeah.
Like, did this start, though? Because I remember at the beginning of COVID, like the politicians or some politicians were going after footballers because they get paid so much. And it was kind of an attack on them. Like, for some reason, and then, like, I think Marcus, he was one of the people who spoke out against that, and then this campaign started, and it's kind of,
he's been doing this thing for a while now.
Yeah.
This feeding kids. It's really kicked off because of COVID, but even before that, this was just something that he was quite...
I thought this started, didn't he start this last summer, for the summer holidays?
Okay.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure he started something, it was a smaller scale. But I'm sure he started something last summer. But I mean, they're easy targets, footballers, and I think that's the way that everyone sort of looked at it. Especially when, you were talking about COVID, and you know, instead of, I suppose it's to take the focus off of the politicians on how much they earn, and all of the benefits that they get and all that sort of, like the £26 a day food allowance, which is absolutely ridiculous. But to take the glow off them, it was straight away, well, hang on a minute, you know, footballers earn 150 grand a week. Why aren't they giving some of their money, right? But it's like, it's just because they're such easy targets because they earn a lot. They're in the public eye.
What people don't seem to realise, and I said this, I say conversation, it was a reply to a comment on a Facebook post. Somebody basically said, oh, well, fucking, why can't Marcus Rashford put his own money into it? And I was like, he does. He does put his own money. He has put his own money into it. And most footballers, pretty much, I would say, it's safe to say, pretty much all Premiership footballers give a portion of their wages to charity or to various charities. You look at the, you look at the work that David Beckham's done for charity. You look at the work that, Mane.
Mane does.
He pumps so much money into Africa. It's something that's even Balotelli. He's put so much money into it. Ronaldo, he's fucking fortune he's put into it. And that's something that footballers do just as a basic. And people also, well, why can't footballers start? Why can't it start with footballers? Let's be fair. They get taxed what 40-45% of their wage. So even if you're on 250 a week, you're going to go home with 125, which is still not nothing. It's nothing to laugh at. It's nothing to
Percentage they'll be on the super tax, won't they? Because they're over 100k.
Well, that's what I mean. So they're going to get taxed a lot anyway, but they're still going to put a shitload of that money into charities, and that's just a given. So anybody that sits there and says, oh, why it should start with footballers, it fucking does start with footballers. It started with Rashford because that's what he said. That's the thing that he's trying to do. So I'm not into all that, oh, well, why can't footballers do more? Listen, I don't get paid anywhere near what Marcus Rashford does. Right? So I can safely say that I will never be able to affect a life the way that Rashford can. But it shouldn't make a difference how much you get paid. The whole point is that we're all trying to help people out, right?
Shouldn't there be government's responsibility anyway? Because wasn't, like, I don't think there's been any, I'm not sure if there's been any statement as to why they don't want to do this, but I think one of them is a principle that government shouldn't be the ones responsible for feeding children. That's, as a Tory, the conservative, like, view. So they want to avoid, like, a government, they say it should be the parents who are responsible for feeding the kids, which... Yeah, I think, it's hard to argue against that. But
I agree. Okay, it's not a government's responsibility to feed wholesale children.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're talking about kids of families where both parents work.
Yeah.
And they're still near enough on the breadline.
Yeah, and in an emergency as well. In a national emergency. Yeah.
So that's not your classic, single parent family where mum or dad is wearing the newest trainers and has got Sky TV, has got the newest iPhone and is going out and getting on it every weekend. And the poor kid is having to eat a pot noodle twice a day. That sort of thing, because they're spunking the money up the wall, up their nose, wherever it's going. We're talking about two parents who both work full-time jobs and they're still struggling to feed their kids. So
that's where
the government do step in.
And during this crisis, those jobs might not even be viable anymore,
this is it.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, not every company's furloughing people.
Yeah, can you imagine working a menial labour job, a menial job where you're getting paid fucking £20 a week or whatever it is, and then they've taken 20% off of that, and you're struggling as it is. It's a no-brainer, and you're absolutely right. It's not the government's responsibility to feed children, but the government do have a responsibility to this country and everybody that's in it. And in the grand scheme of things, 20 million, what he was asking for, is peanuts in comparison to what they've pumped into this whole COVID thing. I think they'll flip. I think they'll change. I think it's gathering so much traction that I think they'd be very, very silly to not go back on it and change. Because Boris has done it once already, didn't they? So
yeah,
but especially this time, you've got big companies jumping on the back of it, like McDonald's and things.
That might be what they prefer, though. They might prefer like private companies to do this type of thing rather than the government. They probably generally think conservatives tend to think government should have a small role in society, and it should be for people and private companies to do it. So this might be what actually want to happen anyway.
But even that surely has got to be classed as a bit of a win for Rashford and his goal anyway.
like for like if it's achieved by any means possible. If
that's what I mean, if you've got X amount of industries and businesses that are offering free meals for kids, then it's a win-win, isn't it? Really, I think. All right, yeah. The government is still not, you know, it's still shitty from the government to turn around and say, nah. That's not a bit of us. But, I mean, it's still a win in the sense that the kids are getting fed.
It'd be Joseph Boris responded like that. Like, nah.
Yeah, it's not a bit of us. Sorry, mate. It wouldn't surprise me in his chambers.
Yeah, but behind closed doors, he's a bit of he's a South London lad. Yeah.
He's a proper lad.
He's
bollocks to that.
Yeah, he's... Yes. All right. So yeah. So like from Boris and Rashford to I don't know. You wanted to talk about Mesut Ozil. You want to do that, or do you want to?
He's another one, actually, Mesut Ozil, because obviously Arsenal have been during this pandemic. Arsenal have been well publicised for binning off
being everybody. Cunts.
Yeah.
All right. Calm down, Mike.
No, I'm joking.
But you know, everyone from the tea lady Doris to the groundsman Willie. Groundskeeper Willie, do you know what I mean? Gunnosaurus is the next one to go.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
the poor Gunnosaurus, man. I mean, even I tipped my hat to that. I was like, fuck, that's sad.
Fucking hell. But Mesut Ozil turned around perfectly and said, listen, I'll pay him. And then Arsenal being showing themselves as the big bad, the devils of the football world have turned around and said, no. Fucking no, mate. No, you sit out. You sit out and never play football for us again, we'll pay you, but he can't have a job either. And it makes you wonder if they've done it because they're trying to stop Ozil from coming across as the martyr. And it actually has nothing to do with poor Dino, the last dinosaur. Like, he's fucking, you know what I mean?
This is what I wanted to ask you, Ed. What's your view? Because in the group chat, you're very sort of, not diplomatic, but quite quiet on the subject, I think. You don't want to throw your hat in the ring one way or the other.
I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest. It's like, yeah.
It's like, because obviously, in one hand, he's being portrayed as the villain, Ozil. You know, he's being portrayed, and you get dickheads Ozil. Like Piers Morgan. Well, yeah, Ozil, whatever. You get dickheads Ozil. Like Piers Morgan, who wax lyrical about how lazy and overpaid he is, and he doesn't deserve to play for Arsenal. But then you get other people, like Jack Wilshere, for instance, on Twitter, who was saying, you know, basically that it's outrageous. He's the best footballer at the club, and yet he's
is he the best
playing.
Footballer at the club?
Well, I don't know, but I mean that's from someone who's played with him, so I don't know. So who's the bad guy, Ed? Is it Arsenal Football Club or is it Ozil?
Does it have to be a bad guy?
Well, in your opinion, I mean, who would you say as a lifelong supporter, who are you angling your daggers at? Is it him or is it the club?
It's a complicated situation, you know. It's like, I think if it weren't for coronavirus and everything like that, with Gunnosaurus people getting let go, then just from Arteta and trying to like basically rebuild the club, it seems like for whatever reason, Ozil just doesn't fit into his plans. Like, I was even reading Ozil's like statement he made after not making the squad. He'll say in the early days, he was working hard. It seemed to be going well for him. It seemed like he was being reintegrated into the team. But the season stopped due to coronavirus. And when he came back, for some reason, he wasn't brought back into the fold. He was, I guess, training separately, so on and so forth, you know. Like, I think from us, like, just still on the subject, but like just to make a slight detour, I was looking at something like basically comparing Arteta to Pep. And like, basically saying, like Pep, Arteta has his principles, but being an Arsenal, he's being pragmatic. He wants to play free flowing football, but given the tools and the players and skill levels at his disposal, he's being pragmatic. And I think we're doing a lot of like we're not creating as many chances. I know there's Ozil who creates loads of chances, but we're not creating as many chances because I guess if we try to play that way, we're opening ourselves out to being beaten, which was going on before Arteta took over. You know, so maybe Ozil, he's not the people we had in midfield, like Ceballos and Xhaka. They're hard-working midfielders. Like, they can create chances, but they're not tough tackling, but they are like hard-working. They run about. They go trying to win the ball back. Ozil's not, although he runs a lot, his like stats are always quite high. He's not really that type of guy. He's not like tough tackling, rough type of player, you know. And I think Arteta, he appreciates that. Obviously, he started in Scotland, and then came down to England. He appreciates British football, appreciates the physicality of it. And Ozil, although he's been like effective for us, like obviously maybe not hasn't hit the heights that we expected, but he's still been great for us. He's I think for Germany, for Real Madrid, and even like before Real Madrid, like, was it Bremen he was at before Real Madrid, I think.
Yeah,
his reputation was people probably rated him as the best midfielder in the world at that point. You know, I don't think Arsenal have seen him as the best midfielder in the world. He's been great. Like him and Sanchez coming pretty much like revitalized Arsenal, you know. They were statement purchases. It kind of put everyone to notice that we're trying to get our way back to the top by not just buying kids, buying established players, but I don't think we really ever got that guy. You know? I don't think we really got him. And so with coronavirus and salary cuts and so on and so forth, it's just not a good look for Arsenal, you know. It's not a good look that, I suppose, we ask players to take a cut and then we fire like 55 people or anyway, and then kind of saw us later. And it's not good that Ozil gets an £8 million bonus for like loyalty when he hasn't really been in the squad. And to be honest, 2 years ago, we shouldn't have given him that contract anyway. He didn't really seem like things, like we didn't really seem like he was the type of player we needed at that point 2 years ago. Anyway, Wenger's last season.
But who doesn't need a creative footballer?
I think a team like maybe struggling, like to stop. I think it's not that we don't need a creative footballer, but like if you have like hierarchy of needs, like we needed someone like Thomas Partey long before we needed someone like Ozil. Like
everyone said that we have him. So what about? Would you now think that Ozil could play in that team now?
Yeah, see, I think even Wenger said it seems like Thomas Partey's tailor-made for someone like Ozil, who takes the burden off someone like Ozil to run around and try and win back the ball, having Thomas Partey there.
Do you think you'll see him back in an Arsenal shirt?
I don't think so. Like to be honest, it'll be nice if, because this is last season, he's got like however many months left of his contract. It would be nice if he's like has at least one game back. You know, just to say goodbye, maybe with fans or whatever. You know? I don't think he is like a great player. He might not go down as a legend at Arsenal, but he is a great player. He maybe doesn't deserve to play quietly. Aubameyang, he's a great player.
Is he an Arsenal legend?
Too early, but he's great. He's a great player.
I don't know, man. I heard he was getting a statue. I don't know how true that is. Bang it right next to Henri.
All right, calm down, mate.
No, I have actually read that. Not going to lie. I actually have.
Maybe what you read was like he's on the way to getting a statue.
That's definitely not what I read. I didn't
read that. What Tottenham blog did you read that in?
No Tottenham blog. That's nothing to do with a Tottenham blog, man. I don't care whether the geezer gets a statue or not. Like, whatever. Give him a statue next to the urinal in one of the toilets. I don't care. Like, whatever.
THFC Fan TV, yeah?
No. But no, I mean, the Ozil situation, I don't know, Ozil, right? I don't know. I mean, you could get him in there now because, like you say, you lack creativity in the midfield.
Yeah,
now, I think every Arsenal fan can see that. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you think about it now, you've got a front three of, you know, Lacazette, Aubameyang, and either Pepe or Willian, whatever. If you was to stick someone like Ozil in behind them, I think you'd probably score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
You could argue it would. I'd probably put Willian in over Pepe because he's just pants, isn't he?
He hasn't lived up to the price tag, let's say.
No, he hasn't. But with Ozil behind him and that, and he said with Thomas Partey in there as well, you can argue that there's actually, you know, a spine that's building. Obviously, you'd have to sort out, you know, your centre back pairing, but you could argue there's a team there that can really start challenging.
Yeah, Gabriel was a good purchase at centre back for us. I know you were for him as well, Paul.
Yeah, but I think we were. Yeah,
chose us over you, but that's okay. Yeah, just saying.
That's fine, mate, because we've got Axelton's baby, so we're fine.
Did he play the other day?
We got Phil Jones waiting in the wings. You know what I mean?
But captain, captain, leader, legend, like Harry Maguire as well.
Listen, the less said about that kind of better.
Do we know what happened in Greece, by the way? Do we know what happened in Greece?
So, what's the story? Somebody tried to fucking stick something in his sister, wasn't it?
Okay.
And it wasn't their finger.
No, please. And Harry Maguire got sad and started fighting, but I think that the killer for it was he tried to bribe the old bill, didn't he? Which he absolutely would.
You don't know who I am, or do you know who I am, or something?
I'm the captain of Manchester United, or something. It's like
I'm very rich. I can sort you out, which you would do if you're a footballer. You're in a country which is kind of known for being corrupt or for the police being able to.
They're a bit dodgy, you're saying, in Greece.
Yeah, this is the rumour, isn't it? I'm not saying that it's true, I'm just saying this is what people say. So you kind of expect some of those Mediterranean countries in that. If you speed around at 100 miles an hour with, 50 euros in your pocket and you get pulled over, there's a possibility that you might be able to get away with a warning. So Harry Maguire's obviously thought, let me try and get away with it. And he didn't. And but I mean, fuck it, it is what it is. Harry Maguire's a funny old one, though, man. I mean, he's not. I think that he's on his day, sometimes he could be phenomenal. And then you've got other days where he's looked like he was trying to rip the head off that Chelsea boy last night. So,
yeah.
You
reckon you bought the wrong player from Leicester? Like, what's that? Absolutely. Is that Sonchu or something like that? Is that his person he was partnered with?
Who?
Like Harry Maguire Leicester. No, it's a Turkish.
Didn't they bought him to replace Maguire.
Okay.
So he was teamed with Johnny Evans, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was Johnny Evans he was in there with.
Mm. Okay, that's ironic. And Johnny Evans did great at Leicester. Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? It's funny. I mean, you look at United's back line and how much money they spent on Maguire. But against PSG the other night, United's back line were phenomenal.
Do you reckon that's not just PSG being rubbish, though?
Yeah, I mean, there was five of them in there as well, so...
It was three at the back. Three at the back.
Three, five, I don't know, whichever way you want to look at it.
It was three at the back. But maybe it was, I don't know. I think, but they did, Neymar and Mbappe looked bang average that night.
They kind of just do what they want, don't they, those guys? They're not really... It doesn't really seem like there's a plan. It's just the plan is just everyone else work hard and let those two do what they want. Yeah.
That's precisely what it is. And so the rest of the team is made up of nowhere near on their level.
Yeah.
You're talking maybe the rest of those players might make it into squads in the top six, maybe top eight in the Premier League. I don't think if you took Mbappe and Neymar out of that team, I don't think anyone would make it into the City or Liverpool teams.
Yeah.
One other than that, I don't think.
What was that player who's helped them out in the Champions League last year? Who did he used to play for, like Stoke or Sunderland or something like that?
Oh, that Mpumachono. He's a Bayern Munich now.
Is he? Oh, shit. Okay. Right, he's really going up. Fair play to him, yeah.
He's got the world's best agent, that geezer.
Well... Well, maybe after, was it Stoke or Sunderland?
I think Fabio Barini was probably the best one. I mean, that guy has literally had a list as long as your arm of top football clubs. You're talking Liverpool, Milan, all these other places that he's played for. And he's probably worse than Sean, standard of football. Like, I mean, that guy is like, honestly, it's like under 12 level. And he has played for some of the biggest clubs in the world. It's an absolute joke. You can
say the same thing about certain managers. You look at who's, what's his name? What's Holland's manager now?
Isn't it Frank de Boer?
Jesus. How has he managed? How does he keep on managing to get clubs and teams? How does he keep on managing? Ronald Koeman's another one. How's he doing it? How is he doing it? Because his standard of coaching is... It's shocking, isn't it? Like, Frank De Boer, that man's a fraud.
Both of them are legends as players, though, isn't That's pretty wild. Come on,
man. But I think that's a big thing, though, isn't it? I think with Dutch football. I mean, you know, Barcelona especially. Barcelona love to they love to have an ex-player in there. World player. You know, we're talking like Guardiola and players like people like that, and Luis Enrique.
Yeah, right.
And all those lot that came in. So, but when you're looking at someone like Koeman, I mean, he had a very good season, one season at Southampton, and then he went to Everton. And I think
he had a good season.
Well, I think it was like six or 7 months was okay, and then it started falling apart.
Yeah.
And then he left there, and then he gets the Holland job, and then he walks into Barcelona. And I mean that's unraveling pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, they got stuffed
3-1. Yeah, they got done 3-1 by, and Real Madrid have been shite this season.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Zidane was in trouble actually, but then not anymore. Yeah.
I even said to Paul yesterday that Madrid will beat them.
Yeah, I thought Barcelona would win that.
Paul put a bet on that Barcelona would win, and I was like, nah.
But then I also had in the same bet that City would beat West Ham, and they fucking didn't, did they? So,
not a very good weekend for you.
Not really, no. I think my gambling days are done for this season, actually.
Right, 1.5 goals, that's what you need to do.
That's what you said, yeah. I might have a look at it. Because I mean, luckily, I was going to put one on today for Everton to do Southampton. And last I looked at it, it was 2-0 Southampton.
Southampton at half time, and they're losing 2-0.
Oh, shit, okay. Okay, first game loss. Oh, well.
They'll unravel, and the only reason that they will is because they haven't got the strength. Strength and depth. So when Calvert-Lewin, which he inevitably will because everybody does, drops a bit of form, they haven't really got anyone else who's going to score any goals. As you've seen this season, really, it's pretty much him that's scoring the goals. And when Rodriguez is unfit or he's injured, again, I was chatting to Paul yesterday about it, you've got Sigurdsson to bring in. I mean, come on, man. You know, you're going from James Rodriguez to Sigurdsson, and it's like, it's just not going to...
How much did you pay for Sigurdsson when he was at Tottenham? How much did you pay for him?
Well, how much did we pay for him?
Yeah.
It was about 12 million.
Oh, really? Just 12? Okay.
We didn't pay a lot, and then he went back to Swansea, and then from Swansea to...
Okay. Yeah, I thought you paid
him. I don't, maybe the same. I think.
Okay. Yeah. But Everton bought for 40, something like that. Yeah.
But he was a good player, you know.
Yeah.
He was a good player.
It was your manager, was it Poch at the time? Yeah, he sold him.
No, Poch sold him.
Yeah.
Village Palace.
Okay. ABB.
No, I completely forgot about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's he now?
Marseille.
Okay.
Because he was a funny story about him. He was at Zenit St. Petersburg, and I think they were walking the league. They were doing really well, and then he quit at the end of the season to compete in the NASCAR.
What?
To go and compete in the NASCAR, which I think he smashed himself up in the first race, and then went to manage Marseille. An interesting story. Look it up. It's true, honestly. Yeah, he left Zenit St. Petersburg to go and compete in the NASCAR, and I think he got so smashed up in the first race that he just fucking sacked it. He was like, "Oh, fuck this." He went to Marseille. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Enough of the football. Like, should we wrap on, like, say, COVID? Yeah. Big topic to wrap on. Like, we haven't. So we didn't talk about it last time, but like, we're still in this shit. We're probably not gonna be out until a vaccine comes up. You know, how are you guys doing?
I don't think that the world is ever going to be the same.
Yeah,
I think that this has been a year now. We're only about a year since it kind of all started kicking off. It's not getting any better. I think that the changes that are going to happen are going to be forever change. It's going to change the outlook of everything. I think it's even down to things as if you want to travel abroad, they're not going to let you into countries without your COVID vaccine. I think there's going to be a huge, and they're already doing it, a huge change on how we pay for things. This, how everyone was talking about, they want to turn us into a cashless society. We're pretty much already there. When was the last time you used cash to buy anything? When was the last time that you've gone into somewhere and they've actually even accepted cash? they'll do it in shops and stuff like that. But typically now, the people are asking now, can you pay with card? You can't go to a restaurant and pay with cash. Which means you can't tip people no more. Even my barber, who was only ever cash, even he now is like, he gets out his little card machine from his pocket, which I'm pretty sure he made at home. but he's like, card. And I'm like, right, okay. And it's a funny old way that we're going. You've got schools that are half open, half closing. Tomorrow they're closed. I mean, kids who didn't do their exams this year, kids who probably won't get to do their exams next year, which means their futures are going to be in serious doubt. I think the world is definitely going to be in a whole different, and I think it's going to have a direct effect on who gets voted in, certainly for the presidential election. I think it's going to change. We could potentially see 4 more years of the king himself, of El Presidente, El Jefe.
You're a fan, then, Paul. You're telling me you're a fan, Paul.
Listen, Donald Trump, mate, he's A-OK.
Paul wears his MAGA hat in the gym every day.
I think
the man is a lunatic, but I do think that he'll win in November. But I'm not a fan of his. I think he's the devil. COVID's going to change everything, man. Everything. Like, work environments, how people just perceive each other, social environments, everything is just, it's all going to be very, very different for a very long time. And I'm thinking the best thing that we can all do is just fucking hop on a boat and go live on a mountain in Japan.
If they let us in, yeah.
If they let us in.
Yeah.
But they probably won't, because we ain't got vaccine.
I feel like
it's turning into a bit of a farce, the whole thing. Because when you look at the facts and figures, so anyone over the age of 70, the success rate is 96%. For the survival rate is 96%.
The success rate for COVID. So if,
whose side are you on, Mike?
If they're 80 years old, COVID's on that. Yes, got another one.
But the survival rate for the 70 plus is 96%. And so you have to think to yourself, I'm not saying more, but in 2018, 65,000 people died of flu-related illnesses. So why didn't we lock down then? Why wasn't we wearing masks? Why wasn't there social distancing?
And it changes. It changes weekly, doesn't it? You know, during before with masks, you know, people get laughed at for wearing masks. There's no point wearing masks. Masks don't do anything. Now it's you absolutely must wear a mask. You know, but we're allowed to.
This is it. And that came in like 3 months too late. I mean, when did we get told we had to wear masks? Was it August?
Something September. Like that, yeah.
And when all this broke out in March, and like, you didn't have to wear a mask. You just had to socially distance. And now you do. You go on public transport, you go into a supermarket, any shop, and you have to wear a mask.
Yeah. Like, the three of us can't go for a drink together. We're not allowed to sit at the table and drink together, but we are allowed to sit on the tube together and go to work and sit in the same office together.
Yeah.
But that's okay, but we can't go and have a drink. Interesting story is obviously Liverpool, Manchester, a lot of places are going to tier 3, which is locked down everything, including gyms. And I did read the other day that of the however many thousand gyms there are in the country, I think it's 32 million visits to a gym. 32 million people visit gyms, and there hasn't been one case recorded of COVID, which has come from gyms. They've got to be like the safest, most sanitised places in the world, next to hospitals, aren't they? Surely.
But you know that. I mean, you know yourself, Paul. When we go in there, there's that little geezer who walks around constantly cleaning, constantly mopping, constantly wiping. I mean, no one's sat on each other's laps. Unless there's
interaction. You still talk to people. Like, we might have a chat with a guy in there, and blah, 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 blah. But everybody is so, barring that one dude who doesn't clean up after himself, But everybody wipes down after themselves. Everybody wipes everything down. It is probably the most sanitized place in the fucking country. But still, you know, Manchester, Liverpool, and that tier three, shut them all down. You know, you've got.
Are you asking for them to be shut down, or are you just describing?
But that's what it's done. Is shut. They shut them all down. And you've got this. This fucking prick Rishi. Who told us not only a few months ago, eat out to help out, go out, go and spend all your money, go eat out to help out. How much money did the government pump into that scheme? But you won't feed kids. How much, you know what I'm saying? They told us, go and eat out, go and spend all your money, go and eat out. And then they had a go at us and said, fucking hell, you lot went out too much. So now you can't go into a pub and have a drink in certain places. You can't go into a pub and have a drink unless you have food. Because apparently, when COVID sees food, it turns the other way. The rules that are in place are complete nonsense, and they're genuine. I think they're doing it just to try and show, we're trying this, we're doing that, but they don't know. Because it's an unprecedented time, isn't it? No one knows, so they're just going to go with something each week until eventually something sticks. It's bollocks, man. I've had enough of it. I'm much like everybody else.
Yeah, I've had enough of it. And I mean, like, Boris, you know, for all the bimbling and fucking ridiculousness that comes out of his mouth, he advocated for herd immunity right at the very beginning, and everyone lambasted him, and he got battered by the press and all that sort of stuff. And now if you look at Sweden are pretty much on their way out of it.
I'm not sure. That's not what I've heard, actually. I heard that the death rates in Sweden compared to like their neighbours is a lot higher, and I think with herd immunity, we don't even know if that's possible with COVID. Like from things I've heard and read, I'm not sure if anywhere any like pandemic has been resolved with herd immunity ever. So it's like I think asking like trying it with a new virus like is quite risky anyway, and like, I don't think they've achieve that. I know they've tried a different way, and yeah, we should look at what they've done. There'll be like pros and cons, but I'm not sure if it's that good over there. I don't think we haven't done well with the way we've handled things, that's for sure. But
do you think there is a country out there that has done well?
From what I've heard, South Korea, like countries like in East Asia, because remember they had SARS like a while ago, like 10 years ago. Like, it affected them. It didn't really get over here or to America. They've got that experience with dealing with that. And they learned from the mistake. So I think as soon as this became, like, a dangerous thing, they were testing and tracing, like, from the off. And from some things I've seen, by testing and tracing, like, their population, they were able to, like, they went hard on the virus from the beginning. And it's their economy has been less affected compared to like ours or America's because of that.
But even that test and track, like our test and trace thing, I mean, what a sham that is. They've pumped X amount of billions of pounds into it. And I was watching the news the other day, and they reckon that they can only actually keep up with 60% of the testing and tracing that goes on in that app. There's thousands of people that are not getting contacted at all to say they was in close proximity to someone who's tested positive for COVID.
There's people who are testing
that then their results are not even getting put through the system.
Did you download the app?
Because if you want to go for a drink, if you want to go for something, the first thing they say to you is, oh, download the test and trace. They say it in the pub, Mike.
I
don't know whether you lot have got it, but we had to go in there and put it on the phone and that. And
So
we do it. But it doesn't work because it only seems to come up in certain areas and doesn't seem to come up in other areas, and it doesn't work properly. But I even said some of the tests they've done before, they got the test wrong and more people might have had it, and it's just been a shambles, the whole thing.
It doesn't give you confidence, really.
Did you see that bug as well?
Huh? You see it here about that bug? I went, it was my birthday a few weeks ago, like went out to like just somewhere with my mum.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, thanks, guys. Mazel tov. All right, Mike. But yeah, so like went to a place, like a few days later got like a message from the app saying you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive for coronavirus. So like that wasn't the first time. Like I think I did it before, but then I saw in the papers that it wasn't a genuine like message. It was like there was a bug in the app, which it was meant. It's basically the message was meant to be, the app is working where notifications, you'll receive notification telling you it's working. It's meant to be just a general message saying, like, basically, yeah, stay alert, like, the app is working in the background, but for some reason, the message was telling you that you're at risk because you've been in contact with someone. So it was just a big fuck up.
I get that loads of times, which is then a notification, which is then followed up by, you don't need to do anything right now, just stay aware or whatever it is. And you just think, well, you know, what's the point of the first message?
Like, yeah. Spooks you, and then it's like, actually, no, you're all right.
And it comes up in red and all that, and you think, oh, fuck me, here we go, 2 weeks off, sweet.
It's a bit like Boy Who Cries Wolf type of thing, you know? People are just going to get desensitized to the whole thing.
I think they are already.
Yeah.
I think they are already. I think it's gone on, and it's gone on for so long now that people are at the point where they're just like, you know what, if I catch it, I catch it. Which isn't necessarily a good way of thinking about it, but, you know. Yeah. I'm not going on tubes and licking the fucking seats or nothing, but at this point...
Not anymore, yeah?
Not anymore, no. Because they don't pay you as much anymore, do they? But,
old pervy Paul. The Northern Line perv.
No.
That was you!
I mean, I'm not an animal. It's just at the point now you're just like, whatever, man. I'm done. I'm not hiding in fear anymore.
You sound like the protesters in Central London.
No, I'm getting like, and even that. Like, I'm not a dickhead. Like, I'm not gonna go stand in the middle of Trafalgar Square and be like, oh, I'm not gonna wear a mask. Like, you want me to wear the mask? I'll wear the mask. You want me to fucking wash my hands? I wash my hands. I mean, I'll do that anyway because again, I'm not an animal.
Yeah, I've got to check actually.
How dare you? How dare you make me wash my hands? it's you're just at the point of where you just like, oh, whatever, man, just get on with it. Let's get it over and done with so we can move on to the fucking earthquake that's gonna wipe us all out.
Yeah.
You know,
but there is crossed. I mean, like, there's you think of the Black Lives Matters rallies and all that sort of stuff and the protests, and then you had the Extinction Rebellion, which was not long after that as well, they were protesting again. But you just think, if there was going to be spikes,
it would have been then.
It would be then.
Yeah.
It would be the 2 weeks after that. And yet there was no spikes then. And now...
Everyone was adamant, weren't they?
Yeah. But everyone, it was all over the news, wasn't it? These damn kids, you know, this is going to spike, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And then nothing. It was just nothing. And then all of a sudden, it must have been like, what, 6 weeks later? 7 weeks later? And now here we are and...
It's funny, isn't it? Because even before the protests and that, people going to beaches, when it got really hot in April, people going to the beach, and everyone was, it was like, what, 100 million people who was down in fucking Bournemouth or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And everyone was going mad over that, and still nothing. And you've got a few thousand people in London for BLM.
How soon after, like, events are spikes able to be registered,
though? 2 weeks, they reckon.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
they reckon for it to actually get out and then rise. Yeah, 14 days.
If anything, if memory serves, during that time of all the protests and stuff, cases were actually going down.
Yeah.
And deaths were certainly going down as well. So
it might be the period of time though as well, because I suppose like hot countries seem to be doing a lot better because I guess was it vitamin D is meant to like strong vitamin D which you get from like sun rays and so on and so forth is meant to be.
Johnny
I've got some vitamin D for you. Sorry. Sorry.
But I mean,
is that what you say on the Northern Line, Paul?
Because they're saying like nobody since March, on the plus side, nobody since March has died of old age. Like that's a plus.
Yeah.
Nobody has died of flu this year. Another plus. Like bonus is all round.
So I don't know about that. COVID.
No, but everybody's dying of COVID. Everyone. Well,
you mean they're putting it? You mean that's what's on the death certificate? Like
this is
pre-existing condition. And
yeah, COVID. Everybody, every single. You have every single year. You have the it kills. I think it kills somewhere on average about 45,000 people a year. Flu within the UK. So But we've had not one flu death really this year, have we? No one's just died of old age. It just seems. Where's all the figures for that? Where's just the people that die?
Yeah, maybe it's hard to differentiate.
Are they being taken into account? No, but this is what I mean. Are they being taken into account? Is everyone just getting lumped into the same thing? Mm. You know, and is this bumping the numbers up? I don't know. I mean, you don't know really, because you can manipulate graphs, can't you? When they do these graphs and these facts and figures, you know, they do every one in 100 or every one in 500. Now, why not do that graph as every one in 1,000? Because you're damn sure the numbers would go down. You know, the lower the graph, you can manipulate it if you want. If you can put it on the news, is every one in 100 contacts COVID or contracts COVID or whatever you've got this. And then you're talking lines that are going up and up and up. But if you've done that to every one in 1,000, your line's not going up that steep.
It might be connected to how many people they're testing, because if like say the population 60 million whatever, maybe one in 100,000 is like is related to how many people they could test. So when they're scaling it up, like that's probably as accurate as they could be. Like one in one. So we've tested one in 100,000 people, and this is the level of like positive to negative that we have, and we scaled it up as a representation of. Like maybe that's how it works. Like
or maybe they're manipulating the figures.
Well, okay, we got column A and column B, I guess.
Right? I mean, you know, it's highly feasible.
I suppose. Like this is all playing into a lack of trust in government. Like not just in their values, but also their like competence as well. I guess.
Yeah.
If either one of the two or both, people just don't trust what's coming out of the government anymore. Like, not just here, but probably, obviously, America, anywhere, really. See, don't have faith. At least, apart from maybe some countries like South Korea, for instance. Germany, maybe. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
You got a hiccup, Mike?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so exciting. I just can't contain myself.
all right. But maybe. Well, so, well, I suppose should we wrap up on COVID? Anyone got anything else to say?
No. I don't think so. No.
All right, cool. You got it all out, yeah.
Yeah.
Go out into the world, yeah. Refreshed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, just quickly though, before we go, Edward.
Yeah.
The top six final standings. Go.
Okay, in order or just
teams? In order, yeah. In order.
All right, maybe okay. Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, Everton.
Cheers, bro. Wow. Cheers.
Fucking hell.
Fuck me, cheers, dude.
Well, what's going on, Paul? What do you reckon?
Man United.
I knew it. I knew he was going to say that.
No, my top. I reckon Liverpool probably, and it's got to be Liverpool, Spurs, City, Chelsea, Everton, maybe Arsenal.
Okay, you're complaining about me not putting United in there, but you didn't put United in there yourself.
I'm not putting United in there. I think United are going to have a torrid season. I think either that or I genuinely believe that everyone is going to play is going to have a shitter. Everybody's going to have a shit season, and it's going to be luck of the draw. So at this point, it probably could be anybody. And I said to Mike the other day, I said it could quite easily be Spurs. It could quite easily be Spurs. It could, I'm telling you. And by that standard, you know, when Leicester won it, it was such an no one would have ever guessed that. Could be Spurs. Could be United. Who knows? One thing is
no one would have been, no one would have guessed it with Leicester, because considering Arsenal were top at Christmas. So yeah.
No. The only thing is safe to say is that it ain't gonna fucking be Arsenal.
Oh, more us than you. More us than you, Paul. More us than you. What about you,
probably,
mate?
Yeah.
Go on,
then. I think City. Oh, God. I don't think Liverpool. Oh, I don't know. Probably City, Liverpool. Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea, and United or Everton.
Right. Yeah. Or Wolves.
Chelsea, you reckon Chelsea?
I don't think Wolves do that good.
I reckon they'll be up there. I don't think.
Because, I mean, you look last year, I mean, it was Wolves and Sheffield United, wasn't it, that were pushing.
Yeah.
Wolves, I mean, they've started okay. Sheffield United have been absolute toilet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could be looking at someone like Leeds, maybe.
Yeah.
I still think they'll lose more than they'll win, but I think
Leeds, you reckon?
Yeah, I think Leeds will lose more than they win, but they still play good stuff. I mean, they'll take apart a lot of teams, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of the lower, like, you know.
Well, they beat Villa the other day, even though Villa battered Liverpool, which was fun, but yeah.
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 Right, on that happy note.
All right, cool. All right, yeah. See you guys, well, in a month or so, yeah? We'll try to do this in a month, yeah? Try to keep it regular.
Yeah. All right, yeah, cool. Sweet.
All right, see you later, guys. Bye.
All right.